excited about our risen King today? My God. Happy birthday, TGH. I said happy birthday. It's your happy birthday. Listen, y'all. It's anniversary Sunday. And y'all know because it's anniversary Sunday, man, we couldn't just give away 2 Maverick City tickets. As I was sitting there worshiping and just thinking about the goodness of God and how awesome he's been to us and reflecting on the fact that, man, this church shouldn't be here. None of us should be here. And this church wouldn't be here without all of you. Man, I told my wife, man, we wanna personally bless 2 more people. We wanna give away 2 more tickets. So Tia, can you come up? I'm just gonna randomly grab a name, a number. My hands are too big. Yeah, just pour one out. All right, I need to see ticket number 415043. Chris, come on, girl. Come on, girl, give me a hug. Y'all give God some praise. Oh, I love you, girl. And this is a day one right here. So just see Tia afterwards. We got you 2 tickets. Man, give God some praise, guys. Give God some praise. Man, what a blessing. Listen, we 4, y'all. And on this day last year, God's word to our church was we're about to enter a season of oil change. Y'all remember that? And boy, did we ever. I mean, if there's anything that can describe the last 12 months of life and ministry for me, and I know for many of you, it's been the word oil change. And God has given me a word this Sunday, this anniversary Sunday, this birthday Sunday that I believe is equally as prophetic as last year's. The word that God has sent me on assignment to deliver you, to deliver to you on this 4th birthday is we are closer than you think. Oh, if you got some faith today, I need you to clap a little bit harder. The word over this house is if you're plugged in and connected to this place, everything you're longing for, everything you're believing for, and everything that he's called us to do is literally one touch away. Oh, somebody say that with some faith. Say it's one touch away. Oh, it's one touch away. That's the word today on this anniversary Sunday, that we are just a touch away. If you can't stand with me for the reading of God's word, I'm in Matthew chapter 8. Man, the Lord's been dealing with me this week with this word, boy. Let me tell you, Lord, just get it out the way you put it in, Lord. Just get it out of me the way you put it in me, Lord. All right, Matthew 8, verse 1. It reads, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand, and underline this, touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. We bow me in prayer. Father God, I'm believing you today for an immediate cleansing. Yeah, Lord, we know that you are God who doesn't skip steps, and we know, yeah, Lord, you are a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts, and we know you're a God whose delay doesn't mean a denial, but God, today, we just want something immediate, God. We also know you're the God who can do it today. Yeah, you're the God who can do it right now. You're the God who doesn't need to wait to heal, who doesn't need to wait to deliver, who doesn't need to wait to touch, and God, today, we need a touch. God, I don't want to just talk. I don't want to just talk. I want to touch. Lord, may you get this dust of a man out the way so your people can see you. And I pray that the words of my lips and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, God, our strength and our redeemer. Oh, who agree with that said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. You guys look beautiful. Happy birthday. Touch is one of the most foundational and basic human needs. The very first thing that a baby experiences after being nourished and nursed in their mother's womb for 9 months is their mother's touch. Touch is so essential to our nature that if you read the story of creation, what you see in the very first pages of the Bible is a speaking God. You see a God who spoke to the sky, and it was. You see a God who spoke to the sun, and it was. You see a God who spoke to the sea and spoke to the tree, and it was. You even see a God who spoke to the birds and the bees. But on the sixth day, somebody say sixth day. But on the sixth day, the only time that the speaking God didn't speak was when he put his hands in dirt to form you. And it was with divine touch that God formed humanity. Nothing else in existence, no matter how majestic it may be, no matter how glorious it may be, the sea can't say this, the lion with all of his splendor can't say this. No other thing in creation can say, God touched me to make me. So why do we find ourselves living in a world where we're so afraid to touch? Well, Pastor K, duh. We living in a global pandemic. What you think? You just woke up? Like, what side of the bed you woke up on today? Of course we can't touch. We in a global pandemic. Duh, dummy. I know y'all be thinking that. Y'all don't be saying it, though. But global pandemic, really? I mean, that's the easy answer. But oftentimes, the easy answer is the incomplete answer. Yes, a pandemic has frustrated touch, but people were wearing masks to church long before COVID. I mean, yeah, a pandemic has frustrated touch, but we were afraid to be touched long before we had to socially distance. I mean, yes, a pandemic has frustrated touch, but we were sanitizing areas that we've touched and been touched long before this current trial. I mean, long before this pandemic, we were busy distracting ourselves with symbols of touch, but lacking the substance of touch. And the reason why is because most of us would rather look than be touched. In today's passage, Jesus has just preached his most famous sermon he's ever recorded. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, he essentially gives the playbook to living a kingdom life. And I wish I had time to get into it, but for the purposes of the assignment he's giving me today, we can't talk about the Sermon on the Mount. But here's what you need to know. After he gives his benediction, a large crowd of people follow him down the mountain. And as they follow him down the mountain, they're still hanging on his every word, and they're still studying his every move. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is run up on by a man who hasn't been touched in a long time. The Bible says a man with leprosy falls on his knees and begs Jesus to make him clean. And then the Bible says that Jesus decides to do the unthinkable. He decides to reach out his hand and touch the man. And it struck me as I prepared this word this week that Jesus could be surrounded by so many people. I mean, he just preached the most famous sermon he's ever preached. There was thousands of people around him, and yet none of them wanted to touch. In fact, the only person that he touched was the person whose condition made it impossible for him to be in the crowd. And here's the word of the Lord for you today that he sent me to deliver. If you have the courage and the faith in this next season in the life of this church to step away from the crowd, you're just a touch away. Oh, pull up your mask and tell your neighbor, you're just a touch away. Oh, turn to your other neighbor and let them know you're closer than you think. You're closer than you think. You just one touch away. Point one, touch is the product of intimacy. Touch is the product of intimacy. Today's passage begins by saying, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, as I read this at home, the first thing that jumped out to me was the audacity of this man with leprosy. What do I mean? Well, in the ancient world, to have leprosy was to have the worst disease imaginable. It was the worst condition you could possibly have. First of all, it was highly contagious, okay? And second of all, it almost certainly led to a slow death where parts of your body would literally fall off piece by piece. Leprosy was so deadly that you would die in stages. Okay, let me work it a little bit deeper. Leprosy was so deadly that you would die inch by inch. Here's what God told me today. There's somebody under the sound of my voice who's dying slowly. You're dying inch by inch, trial by trial, lie by lie, disappointment by disappointment. You are dying slowly, and that is what it felt like to have leprosy, which is why thousands of years before COVID, Jewish law actually required you to socially distance from any person with leprosy. The Jewish Talmud actually said you had to stand 6 feet away at all times from any person with leprosy. In fact, leprosy was so contagious that they required you to stand 150 feet away from somebody with leprosy if the wind was blowing in their direction off of them. And y'all thought the vaccine mandate was bad. Imagine living in this. In fact, the only thing that Jewish culture viewed as more defiling than touching a leper was touching a dead body. Because to touch a leper was to basically be as good as dead. And this is why the boldness of this man, can I talk about him? This is why the boldness of this man blesses me today. See, the Bible says that Jesus was surrounded by crowds of people that didn't have the clearest perspective of who he was. Which is a scary thought because it means that you can be with Jesus and still not really. You can be with Jesus. You can listen to him preach for hours upon hours, spend 3 chapters of scripture with him, and still not really know who he is. The crowd was hanging on his every word. They were there for the greatest sermon he's ever preached. And yet when he finished ministering, the Bible says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were, underline this, amazed. Amazed at his teaching. Because, underline this, he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The Bible says they were amazed at Jesus. And that sounds good until you see that in the very next scene, a leper who had to stand so far away that he couldn't even hear what Jesus said, falls on his face and calls him Lord. Meanwhile, this crowd was close enough to Jesus to see the sweat in his brow when he said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not? They neither sow nor reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? This crowd was close enough to see the fire in his eyes when he said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Oh, somebody in church need to hear that. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. They were close enough to Jesus to hear the compassion in his voice when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Who's mourning right now? For they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yet a leper who, according to Jewish law, had to quarantine himself from a group this large, sees Jesus coming down the mountain, and he doesn't call him teacher. He calls him Lord. Not teacher, Lord. Not healer, Lord. Not miracle worker, Master. If anybody should have misunderstood the identity of Jesus, it should have been this man. This man had no business correctly understanding Jesus. In fact, he's so far that he can't even hear what Jesus says, and yet he's the only one amongst these thousands of people who understands Jesus correctly. And this is why only the leper seeks him for a touch. Here's a question God wants to hold before you on this anniversary Sunday, and it is the most important question I could ask you in the next season in the life of our church. Are you ready for it? Here's the most important question I can ask you in this next season. How close do you really want Jesus? How close do you really want Jesus? Because here's the thing. The crowds were amazed at his authority, yet not one of them sought Jesus for a touch. Some of us have been content with being impressed by Jesus, but not intimate with Jesus. The Bible tells a story of a woman who had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. And one day, this woman who had been failed by doctors who would take her money but misdiagnose her pain, and who had been failed by preachers who would welcome her tithes but wouldn't seek transformation for her life, saw Jesus in a crowd, just like this leper. And Jesus, just like this leper, was on an assignment that didn't include her. Oh, you missed that. The problem with some of you is you're not desperate enough to interrupt God. You're not desperate enough. You don't think you're valuable enough for God to stop what he's doing to tend to you. You think God got so many bigger things than you, so many more important people to help, so many more important stuff to deal with, that your little old life and your little old stuff is just not enough for God. But here's God on an assignment that didn't include her to literally save someone's life. And she said, if I could just, man, I know I shouldn't do this. I know that I'm not the right person to be close to him. I know he got bigger things to deal with than me, but if I could just get a touch. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Y'all not helping me preach. I could be made whole if I could just touch the jump man on his Jordans. I could be made whole. Here's the thing. She didn't seek Jesus for a touch because she was impressed with Jesus. Even though he's very impressive. But she wasn't impressed with Jesus. She touched Jesus because she was desperate to be made whole. This leper was bold enough to break every Jewish law he could just to get close enough to Jesus to say, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Not perfect. Y'all not talking to me. Clean. Not who they said I should be. Clean. Not what people put on me. Clean. Not to prove everybody wrong and show them, oh, I'm not who they said I am, and I'm this, and I'm not that, and I'm the head and not the tail. Clean. Clean. All she wanted was to be made clean. All he wanted was to be made clean. This man was so keenly aware of his brokenness that it helped him see his priorities with greater clarity. Here's the word of the Lord today for somebody. Nothing brings clarity to what should be your priority like adversity. You know, God has been saying a lot of things to me in this season in the life of our church. This is actually the very first year that I've ever gone on sabbatical and not come back with a prophetic word for the next year of our ministry. I went on sabbatical this year and I was just so beat up and just tired of, you know, pandemic ministry and pandemic pastoring. You know, they didn't give you a class in seminary on pastoring in a pandemic. And so nothing prepared me for this. And we had just been beat up so much in so many different ways, individually and corporately. And we were just going through so many things. And this year when I went on sabbatical, I was just tired. And I was like, Lord, if I'm honest, I don't even want a word. just want to rest. I just want to be a husband. Just want to be a father. Just want to be a son. I don't want to be Big Pastor K for everybody. I don't want to have everybody answers and be the oracle of God for every person experiencing obstacles. I'm just a man made out of dust, like everybody else. And here's what the Lord said to me during sabbatical. Midway through, I started to feel guilty because I'm like, Lord, yeah, I ain't fast once. I was like, dang, Lord, I'm living my best life. We done traveled twice. I ain't fast once. I don't know, Lord. And here's what the Lord said. He said, just stay close to me. And I was like, really, Lord? Like, that's it? Like, you don't want nothing else? He's like, just stay close to me. He said, I know everything ain't working out the way you thought it would, but just stay close to me. I know you've been hurt by some folks, but just stay close to me. I know this is not where you imagined the church would be at 4 years, but just stay close to me. I know there's some stuff you wish you could have done differently, but just stay close to me. And then when I came back from sabbatical, God started speaking. And do you know what the Lord said to me? Here's the first thing he said to me. He said, tell them that I'm doing a new thing. He said, tell them that I'm taking this body from milk to meat. That I'm feeding this church solid food to get it ready to grow in maturity. That this church at 4 years old is no longer an infant. And this church will no longer be nursing on the breast of your word. But this church will have to learn how to hunt for itself. The people will have to learn how to feed themselves. They will have to learn how to seek accountability on their own. They're going to have to learn how to get in their own Bible. They're going to have to learn how to fast for themselves. They're going to have to learn how to pray themselves out of a storm. They are going to go from milk . This should be getting you excited. Because God is doing some stuff in our midst that he's never done before. We just did our first ever teaching team open house, where we just took people from our church who is passionate about learning how to grow and communicate in the gospel. And we said, hey, we want to disciple you. We want to teach you how to communicate God's word. We are this close to getting our new permanent space. Oh, the devil is busy, y'all. The devil is busy. The city has already approved the new 500-seat space for this church. But the devil is standing in the details, and he's blocking that right now. So I need the prayer warriors, first of all, to start showing up to church. And second of all, to start praying, because God is doing something incredible in the life of our church. But as I thought about that this week, I got sad. And do you know what's the saddest thing about this season in the life of our church for me? It's not that I still don't see so many of you at church every Sunday like you were pre-pandemic. I was at church every Sunday pre-pandemic. Now I don't see anybody. That's not the saddest thing. It's not that a small group of people are carrying the majority of the ministry burden. That's what's happening, but that's not the saddest thing for me. Do you know what's the only sad thing in this season for me? It's that so many of us are missing the miracles that God is doing in our midst because our priorities have changed. I think the biggest consequence of the pandemic for the people of God is not that we were dispersed. Scattering is the symptom, not the root. The biggest consequence of this pandemic is that either knowingly or unknowingly, we've allowed the pandemic to change our priorities. What we think is important now has changed. What we prioritize time for has changed. It's not that we stopped following Jesus. But here's the sad thing. The crowd was still following Jesus. It's not that we stopped. Most of us still do. But it's that we've allowed the stuff that has happened to affect how desperate we want to be near Jesus. Because Jesus says that I am with the two or more. Not with the one-on-one. Our priorities have changed. See, this crowd had proximity to Jesus in a way that this leper would have gotten stoned if he even tried. Yet Jesus wasn't their priority. They had proximity, but he was not their priority. Oh, they had stuff that needed to be touched too, though. Don't get it twisted. Their marriages needed to be touched. Their self-image needed to be touched. Their finances needed to be touched. Their faith needed to be touched. Their future needed to be touched. But they didn't seek Jesus for a touch. They only sought Jesus for teaching. Why would you settle for teaching when you can get a touch? See, some of us like being in the crowd. Here's why. Some of us like being in the crowd because the crowd provides cover. We like that church is virtual now. We like that we ain't got to get up early on Sunday morning and go through forfeits and then wind up last minute picking one that you ain't even pick out the night before. We like that we ain't got to figure out how we going to tell our friends that we too broke to go to brunch this Sunday. Because that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. You got to go to brunch every Sunday? Lord Jesus, the mimosas is $65. Every Sunday? They ain't put nothing but one pecan on that French toast, and it's $38. Lord. But here's the thing. You like that you don't have to be seen. Because being seen means I run the risk of being touched. See, here's what God said to me about our church in this season. Many of us love being in a crowd because the crowd affords us the anonymity of avoiding accountability. So we stay in the crowd because online now just means anonymous. Virtual now just means touchless. And it's okay to be touchless for a season. I get it. Sometimes you're tired of people. I feel you. I be tired of people too. I be tired of people. I get it. But it's not okay to turn a season into a state. Because some of us has turned a season into a state of being. And you went through a touchless season and now you're in a touchless state. And here's why that's not good. Because if you remain touchless, you'll by default keep Jesus at a distance. Because Jesus isn't just a God that talks. Jesus is a God that touches. The crowd called Jesus teacher. Why? Because we can keep a teacher at a distance. The leper calls Jesus Lord. Why? Because he doesn't want to distance himself from Jesus. He wants to be close enough to be touched. And here's the good news today. The good news is everything I just said about where we currently are can change with just one touch. Which leads me to my second and final point, the touch of the healer. Somebody say the touch of a healer. I want you to look back at me at verse 2 real quick. Because for those of you who really believe today, and who are really grabbing this word, that and you believe you're just one touch away, here's what I need you to see. I need you to see the posture and process that's required to get a touch from God. Posture and process that is mandatory to get a touch from God. Okay, look with me at verse 2. The Bible says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You missed it. But it's not your fault because the English really doesn't do this justice. So we got to dig into actually the original Greek because in the original Greek, the word used for knelt is the Greek word proskuneo. And do you know what proskuneo means? To worship. It means to worship. It literally means to kiss the ground. So before this man even asks Jesus for something, he first worships Jesus for who he is. Which means today, here's what I need you to see, which means if you know that you're just one touch away, the first thing you have to learn to do, I'm helping you right now. Here's the first thing you got to learn how to do. The first thing you have to learn how to do is fight the temptation to petition before you praise. See, this man was in a posture. Somebody say posture. He was in a posture of worship before he said one word. My God, you are missing your shout. He acknowledges Jesus for who he is before he asks Jesus for what he can do. How many of us simply bypass the identity of Jesus because what we really want is the power of Jesus? And here's the thing, God still shows mercy even when we get the order wrong, but it says something about our hearts. It says something about us if what we want from Jesus always comes before what Jesus wants from us. Because what Jesus wants from us is our worship. And that's why this leper's words pleased Jesus. Because his words flowed from his worship. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Do you hear the power of that statement? I love this because this man was bold in his approach, but humble in his request. He was bold enough to approach Jesus for a touch, even though he knew he had to break every law imaginable to do that. But he was humble enough to entrust himself to Jesus' will. The man who needed to be touched, who wanted to be touched, realized the thing that I want more than to be touched is the will of God for my life. Because he knew that he was at his safest in the center of God's will. What would our prayer lives look like in this next year of our church if we've prefaced every prayer with, Lord, if you're willing? Lord, I know I want this relationship to work. But Lord, if you're willing. Lord, I know I want this new position. But Lord, if you're willing. Lord, I know I want this healing. But Lord, if you're willing. Lord, I know I want the assurance that everything will work itself out in the end. But Lord, if you're willing. See, what our prayer lives look like if, Lord, if you're willing, was how we started every prayer. See, the brilliance of this leper's boldness is he approached Jesus on the basis of his power. You can. That's what he said. Lord, if you're willing, you can. But also on the basis of his sovereignty, but only if you're willing. Oh, my God, this is deep. Let me know if this is getting too deep for y'all. I can stop. Is this all right? Can I keep going? What this leper has is a balance. Somebody say balance. It's a balance that many Christians today with all our Bibles and all our books somehow can't achieve. He balances a theology of God's sovereignty with a theology of God's power in one simple statement. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Somebody needs to write this down. My theology has to change if I want a touch in this next season. Somebody's theology has to change because your theology is the thing blocking you from a touch. Your theology is simply the way you understand God. Your understanding of God is the only thing stopping you from getting a touch. And look at what happens next. Look at what happens next. The Bible says that after he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean, Jesus reached out his hand and said, I'm willing. I'm willing. And he touched him. Be clean. Why does Jesus touch this man? Don't answer it too quickly. He doesn't have to do it. In Luke 17, he heals 10 lepers with just a word. He is powerful enough to heal something as deadly as leprosy with just a word. 10 of them. He don't gotta touch them. Why does the speaking God decide to touch someone so untouchable? Well, because he wants us to know that he's been touching dirt. Ever since Genesis. And you would never know that he wants to touch the dirty places in your life unless he reached out his hand and touched the dirtiest man in Israel. And Jesus wants us to see today that he could heal you at a distance. But in order to truly cleanse you, he has to get close enough to touch you. See, Jesus believed the exact opposite about people that need a touch than we do. See, religious people would see somebody like this and say, if you touch somebody like that, you're immediately unclean. You're immediately unclean. But Jesus looks at somebody like this and he says, man, if he's willing to get close enough, man, if she doesn't let her condition stop her, I can instantly, on the spot, today before the pastor says amen, make them clean. See, Jesus is the purest person who ever lived, but he knew that the only way that God could really cleanse us from our condition is if he came close enough to touch us. Which is why Jesus didn't stay in heaven quarantined from our sin and quarantined from our struggles, but instead he came to earth to take our spiritual leprosy upon himself. And in one act of love, Jesus took a man who was alienated and isolated, a man full of shame, who was unable to worship publicly, unable to see family and friends, and ultimately unable to be seen as fully human. And with just one touch, Jesus gave him his dignity and his worth back. God sent me to tell somebody who's been through some hell. You've been through some hell in this last season. Somebody whose dignity has been destroyed. Somebody whose integrity has been investigated. Somebody whose worth has been questioned. Somebody whose assignments have been under attack. First of all, amen, I'm him. But second of all, what God sent me to tell you is, you're closer than you think. You're only one touch away from walking in all of the authority that he promised you would have in eternity. This next season in the life of our church isn't going to be a season of talk. Here's the prophetic word over our church. We're about to enter a season of touch. God is about to come down to visit this little 4-year-old church in Central Harlem. And the way he's going to make his presence known isn't necessarily through what he says, but it's going to be through who he touches. So get ready. You didn't hear the word of God. I said get ready. You still look like you ain't ready. But if you don't get ready, you're going to miss your moment. You're going to miss your miracle. I said so get ready. I said so get ready. I said so get ready to get touched. Get ready for your future to be touched. Get ready for your finances to be touched. Get ready for your family to be touched. Get ready for your fears to be touched. Get ready for your insecurities to be touched. Get ready for your doubts to be touched. This is the season of touch. And the people who receive the word of the Lord today will have to step away from the covering of the crowd. You're going to have to step out of the comfort of the last 18 months that you've been living in. The comfort that has made you complacent. That has made you stop being hungry for a touch. That has made you comfortable with a virtual world, a touchless world. a world where you're quarantined and isolated from the very God you say you love. And the people you need to be around to see him clearly. And he said, if you are courageous enough to step away from the crowd, come today and get your touch. But don't just get a touch today. Get a touch tomorrow and next Sunday and a Sunday after that and a Sunday after that. Don't walk out of this place high on a talk. Get healed by a touch. Bow with me in prayer because God has said everything he needs to say. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the season of touch. God, you are calling your people back. You are calling your people back. Lord, I love that we're about to enter a Bible study on the book of Hosea, because the book of Hosea is all about a wandering people, a people who have a faithful husband in the Lord, but who prostitute themselves because they don't want to be touched. But God, I thank you that just like you sent Hosea back to the marketplace over and over and over again to buy back his adulterous bride, you are calling this adulterous church back to her first love. And you are saying, don't forget the vows I made to you. 2020 didn't change those vows. A pandemic didn't change those vows. Who died and who's alive didn't change those vows. What you got and what you didn't got didn't change those vows. The gossip you surrounded yourself with didn't change those vows. Come back to me and get your touch. God, I pray that this word goes forth and it moves mountains in Harlem. But start right here in this house. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.